Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
He really fucked the shit out of me, as they say in the biz.
I was... Welcome back to That's a Gay S Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and this week is a bit of a diff episode of the podcast. We have Catherine Cohen from Seek Treatment fame here to do a Pride-filled episode featuring a new segment called Ask a Straight Cis Woman During Pride. And boy, do we ask. One of the questions I put Catherine on the spot for is, can a gay man's best friend, best girly friend, say the F slur? Wait for her answer on that. And I also, of course, have to ask about the Postmates bottom-friendly menu. Should that be legal? Under the law. Stay tuned. If you think I sound like Chucky Finster, it's because I do have COVID. Yes, yes, I do feel like Hugh Jackman looked at the Tony Awards last night. Did you see that? He looked in like bloodshot eyes, fully unwell. And of course, the next morning he posted a video being like, well, I got COVID, everybody. And sorry, I can't do... The Music Man on Broadway. Sorry, baddie. So, you know, I feel you, Hugh. I do think I got COVID almost in as gay of a fashion as Hugh did. He got it from the Tony Awards. I got it from Trixie Mattel performing at Pride Week. Yeah, I do think I attended a Pride event, super spreader, but it was worth it. We love Trix. Because I have COVID, if you have any recommendations for TV shows, specifically true crime, please send. I'm really in a hankering to watch devastating stories for the next week. I do talk about one of my favorites as of late with Kat on this episode. It's the Kristen Chenoweth Girl Scout true crime doc. And when I say I recommend it, I mean like it's good and terribly bad in many camp ways, I would say. So if you haven't watched it, stay tuned for the review and then please let me know if you do watch. We're going to get straight into this episode with the Catherine Cohen. I'm so happy you are here, and I'm so happy that Spotify chose to feature us on the main page. We're like with Jonathan Van Ness's podcast and my friend Zach Grady's Gay Pride and Prejudice. It's executive produced by Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Gender Reveal. It's just like, I don't know, it feels like we're in the big league. So I want to thank them and thank you for being here. Enjoy this podcast. Tell a friend you love it. And this is my girly, Catherine Cohen. Dare I say that you are a best friend of the pod?
I'm honored.
I just am so excited you are here, and I want to thank you for coming back on.
It's my greatest pleasure.
I wanted to start this off by I'm actually announcing something to you, and it's going to be a visual. Give me a second.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm scared, and I'm worried.
I wanted to premiere for the first time at on That's a Gay S podcast an appearance of my new dog.
Stop it.
This is Freddie, my love, Lummis Williams. Wait, he's gonna say something. He's licking the microphone.
Freddie. Wait, tell me everything.
We adopted him 2 weeks ago.
Unbelievable.
Catherine, he was found on the street.
No.
Someone posted a video of him on Twitter.com.
No.
Matt all of a sudden was like, love at first sight, ? And then he found out the shelter that Freddie was taken to. They called him Scooter, but we thought that was a little too heteronormative.
I don't like that.
I didn't like throw him on the bed and he like breaks his neck. and so he, Matt found the shelter. And so his sister was in town. They went to the shelter. And long story short, Matt was like, we need this dog. I go later that day. Girly, I was signing adoption papers 12 minutes after I met him.
Wait, so what kind of dog is he? I can't tell.
He's a terrier mix. He's a mix between, I don't know the specific, it's like Cairn Terrier plus something else terrier, but he's basically just like sweet. They think he's 1 year old. He has puppy tendencies. I say 6 months. I say 7 months.
Is he house trained?
He wasn't when we got him, but I have to tell you, within like 10 days and turkey
That's
treats.
That's shocking.
He said, I mean, he's had a momentary piddle and poodle, but like truly like it, he had his first one yesterday in like 5 or 6 days.
Oh.
And the reason why I actually wanted to show you this is that you posted a dog like.
I did.
Who is that dog?
My absolute angel. It's my brother's dog.
Oh.
Who lives next door to me.
Wait, you live next door to your bro.
I live next door to my bro. And he has the most amazing dog named Lunchbox. And so lately, I've had very little going on. And my brother got this new job, so he's been going into the office. And I just kind of wake up and I go fetch Lunchbox. And then we hang out during the day. And
the name yeah. Lunchbox is inspired.
Isn't that crazy? That was his name at the shelter. And
what?
It was meant to be. I've never met a dog like him. He's the sweetest, calmest. Like, he hates walking. He literally just wants to lay on you. He's perfect.
Okay, goals. We were nervous because he's an energetic girl, but like he keeps us. I think honestly, I haven't told anyone of this. I think that he's actually been good for me and Matt too, because we have like a common goal. Like, and we're proud of our son.
No, literally, Brian and I. Well, I fostered a puppy last spring, and it was so hard. She was so cute but obsessed with shitting on herself, but it was really like sexy to watch Brian like take her out and like be cute to her.
I actually said recently that there's nothing more attractive than fatherhood, which brought up a couple of questions, but yes? I think
do you want to be a father one day?
I do. Aww. It's expensive and ugh. But also like I want it to happen. We were talking about with Freddie, like, what do we call the gay quandary? Is two dads, what do you call them? Daddy one, daddy two. Someone was like saying you call them, I don't want my child to call me like Eric, can I have some juice?
I know people do like Papa and Daddy.
Which
or like Dad and Papa.
Is it okay to say that Papa doesn't like ring all of our bells? I don't it's we just are undecided. So for now we're doing something for dog only. I don't think human child, but like Daddy Eric, Daddy Matt. But like
that's great.
I think that's okay for dog.
It's perfect. I think it's good for a human too.
I think it is Daddy too. Matt. It's
my friend had two moms and would be like Mama Catherine and like Mama, who's my wife? What's her name?
June Diane Raphael.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, obviously the question's begging to be asked. Eggs freezing. How are you doing?
I know. I just froze my Eggalinas. Literally 1 week ago today. I was the procedure. I've honestly coming off the hormones has really made my moods like psychotic. So I've been like pretty depressed, but I'm glad I did it.
What was the preparation before you got the froze?
You have to inject yourself with hormones for like 2 weeks. So basically, yeah, you go in, they like do your blood work, ultrasound, and then you go pick up this big bag of like thousands of dollars worth of medicine. It's like a comically large bag from a special pharmacy. And then, yeah, once in the morning and once in the evening, usually you give yourself like a shot. It's like, it's not that bad. It's not like it's a needle, but it's not like crazy long.
Where on the body?
In my belly.
Fuck yeah.
You can also do it on your thigh, but I thought that would hurt more for some reason. I guess my thighs are tauter.
Sure. No, I
than
think
my belly.
I would go belly too.
But I don't, if I was really thin, it'd be so uncomfortable. I don't know how
you're like, doctor, which ab do I put it into?
No, literally, like I would just kind of like, it would really like into my big pillowy form. It was so comforting.
I posted a picture of myself with Freddie on the stories recently, mm-hmm. and then someone responded about like, yeah, belly. I was like, I was showing a little midriff and I was like,
and they were into it.
I think so. It was the first time it had been labeled belly to me, and it was,
I think belly is a term of endearment.
I think so too. Moving to Los Angeles has, you know, I have a joke that's like, while I haven't gained fame or wealth, what I have gained is body dysmorphia. I just,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I truly like the lighting here is just too good for all of our own mental
health.
Oh my God,
it sounds horrible.
And also because in New York you walk so much, and here I not only don't walk, but I also have a trunk to put my groceries into. I'm like, well, then I'm gonna get the bigger ice cream.
Never moving
so,
again.
Yeah. So I like,
oh, look at Freddie's face.
Oh my
frame,
God.
Though. That's so fucking cute.
Freddie, do you want to say hi to Catherine? He was going,
wait, now I'm like sad. I wonder if Lunchbox is home.
LOL. Lunchbox. Lunchbox, get in here.
I'm always like wishing I could text him and see if he's around.
Okay. Same thought.
I do have, I have my brother on Find My Friends. So I'll just like look and see if he's home or not. And if he's not home, there's a good chance Lunchbox is home.
Oh, reverse psychology.
Well, yeah, unless sometimes I'll take him out with him on the weekends and stuff. But usually it's like, it means he's at the orifice.
Sure, the orifice.
Doing squirt.
God, Lunchbox is just a man about town.
Precioso.
We love Lunchbox. Angelina. And Freddie is going to get their own Netflix animated
show.
They
deserve it. Wait, so how do you like, when did you move to LA?
6-7 months ago. And it has been, dare I say, the change. It's been good.
The change you needed.
The change I need.
And that's great.
I've had so much soul searching about why I like it so much, because oftentimes...
Tell me everything.
Well, there's that really annoying conversation of like, what is better, New York or LA? And you're like, actually, right. I'm bored. But I've learned that they're both great. What is really great about my situation is the change happened, period. I needed to change up the mix. If I was a Kardashian holding a salad, what I'm doing right now is... Like, that was my life. I was like...
You needed something fresh.
I needed to mix it up. I needed... Yes. And
you've been in New York for like a million years.
13.
You were what, 18? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which famously is like 2 years before I met you, I think, which is...
I know. That's crazy.
Absolutely insane. But yeah, I overall, it's just like I have gotten things out, like gotten out of my own way in ways that I wasn't in New York, and like have some exciting things.
Tell me more.
Well, like, example being, and I feel like this is how I know you're such a good podcast host, because you're on my podcast and you're asking me all the questions. I'm going
to
ask you.
I also haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know. I'm gonna ask you questions, I promise. But I want to answer this one by telling you that one of the biggest mental roadblocks I had in New York was this voice. And my therapist is like, who is the voice? And I was like, oh, that's tough to say who it is, because I realized the voices in my head have been saying to me, you are not enough. You are bad. Why would you do that? You are bad. And then here, because of the change, I was like, why don't we switch that up? And so when I hear that voice here, I'm like, but I think that's actually wrong, because what I'm actually learning from things I put out is that actually I'm not bad and I'm not a piece of shit. So what if I don't listen to the voice and then do the things I actually want to do? Example being, I had an idea for a pilot that I was like not writing because I thought I was bad. And so then I wrote it here, and it's actually like I'm having some exciting meetings and things. And also, I now know, which is, it's psycho to say, that it's fucking good. Is that okay?
It's better than okay. It's perfect.
Also, just like, I was at a gay bar last night on a Wednesday, if you can believe, and I started talking to this random guy, and my friend who's with us was like, you just talked and meet people here? I was like, yeah, I live in LA. Which has nothing to do with anything, but it's like, the change has, I've tried
to... Yeah, you're just like, hey, what's up, everyone? I just got here.
Well, my line that's really, if he listens, like, this is going to be devastating, because this is a genuine question I have. If I like someone's shirt, I'm like, okay, this is my line last night. I said, okay, listen, I'm going to tell you where your shirt is from, and if I'm correct, but the second I even...
It's very sexy.
It is. I mean, I was definitely flirting. The second I said that, his face went... It was like and I was like, oh no, is it thrift? It's thrift, isn't it? And he was like, it's thrift. And I was like, fuck, I was going to say Zara. He's like, no, it's like, and I couldn't even tell you. I was like, well, what thrift shop? He's like, I couldn't tell you. I go to so many. So
he sounds really chic.
Next thing we know, I'm inviting myself to a future party that he's throwing, and now we're friends on Instagram.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful. Yeah. That's how you do it. You know, that's a good one, because people, you know, I write this advice column, and people often ask, like, how do I meet new people? And... it's a hard thing to do.
It's so hard. And I actually said to the people I was with, I was like, what is my opening line? What is my opening line? And then I think Matt made fun of him. He's like, talk about a shirt. And I was like, I'm going to talk about a shirt.
Yeah.
And it worked. It was fine. People are fine being talked to, I find, mostly.
Oh, totally. I feel, yeah.
And if they're not okay, they let you know.
I know. If I talk to a stranger and if they aren't immediately charmed by me, I'm like,
exactly.
This is insane.
You're like, what is your problem?
I'm like,
you're
that
yelling.
Sucks. You're yelling. I need help. You're screaming bloody murder at me.
Well, I think with this in mind, of you being such a good interviewee and interviewer, I want to take the reins back, and I want to introduce can I introduce a new segment?
I just picture myself being a literal horse, like chomping, and you're like, I'm like, yeah.
Because this is Pride Month and Catherine Cohen is on the podcast, I have a segment perfect for Pride that is called Ask a Straight Cis Woman.
Yes!
I'm going to ask you some hot button questions.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
And you have to give me your take as a hot, straight, cis woman.
I'm ready. I've been praying this my whole life.
Question number one.
Uh-huh.
Recently, Postmates, the delivery service, had a campaign that says, we have a bottom-friendly menu. These are options for gays who want to get fucked in the hole. Catherine, is this funny or is this bad?
That's not true.
No, it's true. It happened today.
No.
Google it, babe. Postmates.
Are you joking? They have a bottoms-friendly menu?
Bottom-friendly menu.
Like stuff with fiber in it?
Yeah, and it's like, get sushi because
like,
there's
I need
rice.
It.
You're like, interested?
Is rice good for shitting?
I mean, yeah, if like, you know, the brat diet, if you have diarrhea, it's bananas, rice, applesauce, toast.
Oh, I'm really actually constipated after my egg retrieval. So maybe
Maybe
this is all to say I need to get on the bottoms only diet.
Well, do not do rice, girly, because that will stop you up more than the constipation has already stopped
right,
you.
Right. So that's what I thought. So carbs stop you up. So I need like broccoli. Ugh.
I guess. You also need just like a venti God. Iced macchiato and God.
Yeah. And God herself.
Okay, so...
I think that's insane.
Okay, I think that's what majority of people... I posted it on the podcast Instagram, and that is winning currently.
What were your options? Like, is this okay or is it insane?
Exactly. I said, like, funny, okay, unhinged, or bad. Like,
yeah, I would say unhinged.
Yeah, I think we're going unhinged.
I don't know if it's bad. I don't know if it's bad, but it's not good. Right?
We know what it's not, which is... good. Right. You famously are going to Edinburgh and London to perform. Catherine Cohen, where are the boys hotter? Scotland or England?
They're both amazing options, but I have to say England only because, well, this could really go either way because the Scottish accent is often impenetrable, which can be very hot. Like something that's literally impossible to understand, which is of course horny to have someone talking at you and you like literally don't know what they're saying, but they're literally speaking your language and you're just a stupid hole begging to be filled. So
can I give you my Scottish accent impression?
Yeah, please.
My favorite color is blue. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like what? It's like literally.
I thought, no, I'm going down to the stall to get the thing and I'm gonna put you in, and I'm gonna put my dick in your pussy.
That's that veered a little bit southern at the end, which is
I'll
really
put my
cool.
dick in your pussy.
But I think I've been known to fall in love with many a British man, so
I remember when I visited one. I was on the tube, is that what they call it, channel?
Yeah.
And I look across the platform, next thing I know the most beautiful manicured man is like wearing tight jeans, probably a leather jacket. I don't know if London is full of beautifully dressed men or they're all fagottrinis.
Beautifully dressed. I think they're mostly straight.
Fuck.
No, I mean, no, that's not most of it. What I'm saying is that most of the guys I've been with in London, I'm like, I assume they were gay and then I find out, oh, they're actually not. But then to be fair, I was once famously at a Say It With Me pub and I hooked up with a bi guy I met there, which was so hot. I know. And he was, he looked like Eddie Redmayne. He was like model. And it was so funny because the next morning he was like dying to hang out with me. He's like, let's go to a museum. I'll take off work. Let's do something. And I was like, oh, I have to get back. I have a meeting, whatever. So I leave. And then that night I text him like, well, let's hang out this weekend. Disappeared forever.
Don't you want the like true crime documentary about what happened to him?
Well, yeah, because it's funny. Like, I would assume he would disappear. But because he was so insistent on seeing me again, that's when I got confused. But maybe that's classic. Maybe I'm a sucker. Sucker for love. He really fucked the shit out of me, as they say in the biz.
I was wondering if there was full penetration, but you are saying yes and yes.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, it was. We had safe, beautiful sex. This is yours. Wow. This is years ago now.
Years ago, safe.
I wish him the best.
I hope he's doing well. What do you think? What do you remember his first name?
No. Wait. No, let me think. That's really scary. It's probably in my Google Doc.
I have a name in my head.
What do you... I'll tell you if it's right.
Well, it's a really big swing. So, okay. I think his name is Landon.
No, but it's not far from that. But I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere for the, you know, the memoir.
Yeah.
Et cetera. I have a picture of him in my phone.
You
actually.
Do?
Yeah.
Independently of the recording, at some point I want to see the
yeah,
picture
it's definitely
of Landon.
Not. It's definitely not going in the public sphere, but I'm... sure there's a picture of Landon because I remember like it was a very very drunken night, but I remember I had this crazy coat and he like tried it on as a joke or something, but I was like, haha, like let me take a picture just so I could obviously show pictures of him to people like
let
you,
me take a picture of the coat.
Yeah, LOL, this is such a funny thing, a guy wearing a girl's coat. I'm laughing. I have to capture those
next thing you know. What?
Yeah, I just unlocked a sense memory.
Where are you?
One time I'm in Scotland and I slept with this Scottish guy and I made him try on his kilt for me. And this is textbook. As I put, as I grabbed my phone to take, as I pressed take the picture, my phone died.
Shut
up. I'll never forget. I'll never forget.
There was some Scottish ghost that was like, not today.
That was like, girl, you need to
You need Jesus.
Yeah, you need Gord himself.
If I was standing in front of a Scottish man in a kilt, guess where I would go next?
Inside the
my
kilt.
Knees. Yeah.
I mean, inside the computer.
I would literally be like lifting that skirt up.
You know,
like
a kilt is so hot.
Yeah, you just see my head.
You make me wanna la la on the kitchen and the floor. I'll be your friend. Now you only do one more.
I'm like an alley cat. Drink of
milk up.
Bottom up.
You make me wanna
scream. Here's my next question for Ask a Straight Cis Woman. Mm-hmm. Can a gay guy's girlfriend, best girlfriend, say the word fag?
No.
Decidedly no.
Did you see, I just saw the most amazing play called Which Way to the Stage?
I hear it's so good. My friend just saw it and said
you
it was,
would die.
Like, I hear it's great.
It just closed, but hopefully it'll go to LA or something or somewhere else.
I pray.
And there's a whole bit where the best girlfriend of the gay guy insists she can say it because like she was the only one in their Fire Island house, and I was like dying laughing.
Oh my God. I mean, it's actually, I think, a debate to be had, because I'm thinking of a specific friend who is mm-hmm. similar to a Catherine Cohen, which is mm-hmm. what we call mm-hmm. a magnet to gays, and I think that if she were to say it to me, I'd be like, you earned it, like you earned, but I think that's an exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, I don't know why I would need to say it so bad. Like, I'm fine not saying it.
I think if we were saying in a joking, but like making fun of like through love way about like someone like being super faggy, that's the only way that I can be like, because we're saying.
Yeah, like it's also like doing it a private joke with like your friend in front of no one is different than like walking around town being like, ah!
There's a fag over there.
Me on stage at Club Cummings screaming the slur, like, no.
Where are my faggots at? The whole audience goes silent.
Oh, can you imagine? I know, I met this like Gen Z gay who was like, he was like trying to tell me I should like be more like, not like offensive, but he was like, you need to like he was really drunk, but I think that's what he was saying. Like, because now it's almost like, you know, millennials are like, I feel like woke obsessed, and now Gen Zs are like, you know, rebelling against that. And I'm like, I'm not gonna say a slur at you. Like, I don't know what you want from me.
That's so funny, because like I think what so many people love about you is that you say a lot of the unsaid things, and I know that Gen Z's like, now I want you to commit a crime. Like,
yeah, no, okay. I'll happily say my embarrassing unsaid things, not someone else's offensive things.
Yeah, I love though that this drunk man was giving you notes.
I loved it. I was like, what else should I do? Tell me everything.
Yeah, please.
No, but I think that is not for us.
Okay. I have a new question.
Yes.
Boyfriends dressing identically. Should this be legally allowed under the law?
Oh, like a gay couple?
Yeah.
That's fine.
I saw the other day in West Hollywood and I...
Identically? Like, is that a thing?
It isn't.
You just mean when couples look alike.
They not only looked alike, but they were both wearing jean cutoffs and like a white tee and like the same bandana. And I was like, well, now we're going far. Now we're.
But that's like all couples do that. Like my parents, who are famously man and woman, mm-hmm. will constantly show up at events wearing the exact same outfit.
As a bit?
Like, no, like on accident. Like, because they just like, you know what? They both just have like 10 things in their closet and they're around each other all the time. So they'll be like, they'll show up in like navy suits and like white button downs, or like they'll wear the same like blue workout shirt to play tennis. And I'm like, this is crazy.
It makes it even better that they're different genders. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I am growing up with my very straight twin brother. If we walked out of like into the hallway to leave and we were both wearing the same shirt,
I cannot believe you have a straight twin brother.
Straight twin. He would lose his fucking mind. Aww. He would like, change your shirt.
Oh, that's so cute.
I'd be
so
like,
cute.
Here's a funny idea. Change your shirt.
Or, where does he live?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, right. Home sweet home. Is he married?
Married with child.
Wow.
1-year-old child.
Oh, my God. Are you guys identical?
Very fratern.
Oh, very fraternita.
Yeah. I actually had a funny experience during Pride last weekend where I told a guy who was, I think, on drugs. I told him I was a twin. And he goes, oh, are you guys biological?
That's amazing.
I was like, turns out, yeah. Funny story.
I'm feeling so biological today.
I know. Are
you biological?
We're so biological. We like had such a biological moment there.
I love it.
Yeah, I think that ends the Ask a Straight Cis Woman. I think you passed with flying colors.
I'm so glad. I also want to say, like, when couples look alike, I get it, because if I'm watching lesbian porn, which I often enjoy, it's like I really want the girls to look like me or have like my body type, mm-hmm. because then you're like, it's like I'm attracted to it, and also like you feel like it's you. It's like it makes sense.
Do you know what's really devastating? I was with a friend recently, and I was like, he was showing me a cute guy, and I was like, do you know who he looks like? He looks like that guy from that brother porn. He was like, pardon? Yeah. And I was like, there's a porn with two like brothers who are fucking. And yeah. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I found myself on my computer going to a private Chrome browser, and I typed in brother gay porn, and the results did not show me the porn I was looking for, and I'm like scrolling through pages, and at this point I like zoomed out, and I was like, is this am I on a list, do we need
this right now? I think that's beautiful. I love being familiar with porn stars and their work.
Yeah. And also I think these people were actually brothers, but it was filmed in a way that really felt like a docuseries, and that they were cool. And it was a great video. I'm sure someone listening to this knows the video. Like, it's like a brunette guy with like a kind of like chin patch hair, and he's like,
reach out if you know that guy. Yeah, Brian and I will love being like, I found a girl that like will like.
Have you ever considered a three?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely open to a three. But I just find like talking about it is very horny. It might be messy interpersonally to actually do it.
Yeah, I think it has to be very organic, but it could be absolutely.
Yeah,
incredible.
I've also tried to make it happen. Like, twice Brian and I have tried to like fuck other couples, and we've been like rejected both times. So I'm like, okay, bye. It's kind of iconic, actually.
Isn't that devastating to be in a relationship and still get rejected?
Yeah, well, it's really crazy, too, because, like, Brian and I felt like both couples were acting in a way that was, like, so flirty. We were like, this is crazy. And so it would be insane if we didn't pick up on this. And then, next thing we know, rejected.
How did they reject you?
The one story is that we were really drunk, and this other couple was like, let's play Truth or Dare. And I'm like, okay. And so one of the dares, and we've been like kind of flirty all night, whatever. And one of the dares was to tell the other girl to kiss me. And then she started like laughing so hard that like we were like, okay. She's like crying, laughing. I'm like, I don't know why that's so, so funny. So then we ended up going home after that.
She cried laughing until you just kind of slowly slinked out the door.
I just slunk out. Yeah, she's very beautiful and cool, and I wish her the best. So
I wish she had made out with you.
I know.
Can you believe, speaking of funny women that are turning out to maybe be gay or not, Rebel Wilson has a girlfriend.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that about her.
She just premiered the picture on the internet.
I
want to
see it. That's cute.
Yeah, she's real. I mean, they look like very happy, but Rebel Wilson is, I think she like says like happy pride, and here we are.
This is so funny. This name, all about Ramona Agruma. Ramona Agruma. They look very happy and cute. A jewelry designer.
Okay, it's very Kim Cattrall, Sex and the City, like having a girlfriend for the first time, and she's like a painter. It's very totally. If you were cast in And Just Like That season 2, but you had to say a line that was anti-Semitic or like supposed to be shock humor, but you weren't sure, you had to say fag. Would you take the role?
That's a really good question. It depends on why, what's happening.
It's because Charlotte actually like meets you at an event, and she's like,
I could definitely say something anti-Semitic because I'm Jew.
Right. So Charlotte meets you at an event, and then she takes you to Miranda and Sarah Jessica Parker like for brunch, and then you find out that your server is Jewish, and then you say something like, well, I hope they're not expecting 20%.
Yeah. I'd be honored to do that on Just Like That.
I actually see that as that actually would be a great arc for you. Now that I pitched it, I'm like, wait a minute.
You're like, wait, I moved to LA and I'm an amazing TV writer.
I guess I'm...
It'd be so fun to be on that show. Oh my God.
I want to manifest it for you.
You know, it's funny because someone just asked me what role I would play on that show if I was in my dreams.
I don't know. It's a great
question.
Where
have I been? Where am I?
Where are you going?
No, literally, I'm having this thing lately where I'm like, I can't remember like what I did yesterday or the day before.
I think that's maybe just like a trauma response to the world being on fire.
Is that pandemic brain fog? Blah, 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 .com?
Dot, oh, yeah, I've been having that for sure. I know. Sure. But my husband calls it, quote, not listening.
Drag his ass.
I want to ask you, as a talented, famous person, your Netflix special is one of the best things I've ever seen on a screen. Oh, and I mean that with all my heart. Matt and I were watching it, and just the biggest thing I love about it is that it's not only crafted to perfection, but you are having so much fucking fun up there. I am, girl. Can't believe the pressure of knowing what you were about to do, and then you did it. Did you take a drug, or was it just like the energy of the life circumstance?
No, it was in that moment I felt like waking up the day of a special, it was like, oh, I have everything I need to have the best time. It wasn't getting there was very stressful, but on that day, I was like, this is fucking amazing. I've done this show 10 million times. Mm-hmm. We're filming it twice. Like, I have my family in the audience. Like, I'm just going to have so much fun. And also, like, I don't think this happened, but I could have easily been like, I think there was one song where I was like, let's start over. You know what I mean? Like,
I love that so much. Because
we ended up cutting together two performances. But no, it was very natural. And it was, please spread the word. Because it feels crazy to, like, you put this thing out and it's just like online.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wait, where'd it go?
Do you know how much of the final product was which performance? Is it like half and half?
I don't know. I asked the director that because I helped him with some of the cutting together. I think it's like pretty even half and half.
I think
the first performance was more like tighter, and the second one was a little like loopier and like more ad libs and more like kookiness, and so together they probably had a good balance.
As you are embarking on this journey, if I were to ask you about auditions that you've had that you mm-hmm. haven't booked, has there been anything that you are allowed to say in public that was like a behind the scenes, that's just like a crazy like circumstance, or like,
oh, I wish I know what you're talking about, like I was almost WandaVision or whatever the fuck. Like, no. No, I mean, I've obviously had 10 zillion auditions that I haven't gotten, but there's nothing that I'm like, wow, that would have changed everything. Except, like, I feel like I auditioned for the girl in Hacks, but I feel like every female comedian on the planet did as well. So I'm like, that doesn't feel special. I'm just like, yeah, of course I like went in and, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, pivot. Your favorite TV show of all time? Best of all.
My favorite comedy of all time, I would say, would probably be either The Comeback or Arrested Development.
Mm, you know what? I never watch Arrested Development. I feel like I missed.
It was very formative for me. Like, when I watched that in high school, I was like, I've never heard jokes like this. Like, I've never laughed like this. It was a whole new, like, language for my brain.
Did you watch, funny. Were you a Parks and Recreation person?
Yeah, I loved Parks and Rec. I loved The Office.
Yes. I had an ex that got me into Parks and Rec, and I was like, found myself crying watching it. And I was like, oh shit.
You know what? The reason I haven't finished all of Hacks is because lately I never watch comedies, because I think they subconsciously make me feel like, oh, I should be writing or doing something or auditioning, which is so stupid. So I need to get back for the love of the game. You know what I'm saying? I exclusively watch like dramas and like true crime and documentaries and stuff.
Are you watching The Staircase?
Obviously, I'm all caught up. It's so good.
Are you team Owl? Are you team He Did It? Who did it?
I'm definitely team He Did It. 100% He Did It.
I just read an article about The Staircase being like, are we trying to make him seem a little too sympathetic and like taking a little more liberty? Like it's like,
really?
Well, because it was basically actually a friend of the pod, Ashley Ray, wrote this very good article about like how we kind of like, I forget the word she uses, but like we almost trivialize, or like we have to watch her get murdered in literally every episode except like two, and like the different ways that she could have gotten murdered.
It's hard to watch.
I at one point she in the article describes one of the murders. I was like, I don't remember that, and that's because I was putting my hand up to shield the screen. I couldn't possibly bear it. But I think what she was saying is that the common sense theory is that he domestically abused her and he murdered her and that's it. But it's almost like the show tries to do too many of both things, which is like show the common sense, like he probably did it, but also like give too much voice to the other theories and try to show her as a human being, but also show her get like bashed in the brain on a staircase 15 million times.
Well, it's interesting. I think, first of all, it's funny because when I was watching one of the murder scenes, I was like similarly putting my hand up. My boyfriend was making fun of me because all I do all day is listen to true crime podcasts, but I don't want to see it. I'm like, I like hearing about fucked up shit, but seeing it, I'm never into like gratuitous like gore and I don't like that. But it's so funny you say that because I thought my interpretation of watching it play out in so many different ways is that it's so deeply absurd in every way except the obvious way that I feel like they're making their point that way. Like, no, because the one where it said she slipped, she's literally throwing herself back and forth for no reason. I was like, this is amazing.
It's very showgirls dying in the pool. She's showgirls.
Yeah, exactly. So but send me the article so I can read it.
I will. The commitment issue in me, like the trust issued person in me is like, maybe it was an owl. Like, I just can't help.
Oh, either it was an owl or he killed her. I don't think she tripped, but I could definitely see it being an owl. Pat and I are big proponents of owl theory. But he's so awful and he's so repulsive and I fucking hate him. Colin Firth is so good in it. And I'm like, he's so awful.
And Juliette Binoche being the like so documentarian good. That's like sopping wet while she's editing this murderer. It's like,
she's so beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
Although, how many eps are there?
I actually don't
going
know.
To be?
But
is there one more or is there like three more?
My gut tells me there's like one more because
scared of that.
I'm scared too.
I'm scared of that.
We troll the television every night for the next disgusting crime documentary.
Same.
We're like,
wait, do you have any good ones? I need. I've seen them all.
Wait, we have to talk about the really. It's good in the sense that it's good and bad. It's the Kristen Chenoweth Girl Scout doc.
I have not heard about that.
Catherine,
what is it?
I'm going to pitch it to you right now.
It's a documentary?
It's a documentary series that I think is like done by like ABC or one of those networks.
Oh, and one of those where they repeat the same thing like 20,000 times because of commercial
over
breaks.
And
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
This whole documentary is about three young girls who it's a truly horrifying story. But Kristen Chenoweth is like somehow narrating it because she almost went to that camp, but was sick and didn't go.
That's insane. What's it on?
I think we watched it on Netflix. Let me look for
it.
Sounds
like Hulu. It sounds like.
Oh, wait, it does sound like Hulu.
It doesn't sound like on the ladder of prestige. It's like, of course, HBO to the top. And then we have like Showtime. Then we have Netflix. Then we have bottom of the barrel Hulu. Now where do you think Apple TV falls on that?
Apple TV is like in a league of their own, if you will. I think like Apple TV is like adjacent to, dare I say, Hulu.
Showtime.
But people say that people say that Apple TV, I just haven't given Apple TV a fair shake.
I feel like it's getting better. Yeah, I feel like Apple
because
TV
of
is
Severance.
More like, oh, couldn't, if you think I could watch that for a single second.
Wait, give
it
me
was
a second.
So boring, I was asleep. he's left the podcast because of what I said, my inflammatory comments. I start saying the slur over and over again while he's gone.
You didn't watch Severance?
No, I was bored out of my skull trying to watch the pilot. You know who I don't like? Speaking of Parks and Rec.
Oh, you don't like Adam Scott?
No, he literally, I'm sure this isn't true, but the way he walks around, he thinks he's God's gift to Hollywood. It's like no one cares.
In purse or on screen?
On screen. I don't know him.
Okay, I was like, did you meet him at a party and he was a total?
No, not at all. I know what I'm saying. I'm sure he's lovely, but like for some reason the way he comes off is so like, nah.
You mean.
It's so 2016. It's like, get out. Let someone else have fun. Let someone else be the normal guy.
Do you know who also I think does that? Max Greenfeld?
Yeah, but I like him because he's like too hot. He's like not normal.
I think he's so hot, and then to be like affable, if that's a word, like maybe excuse it. But to me,
you don't like him.
I don't. I once thought I saw him at this like cafe spot in Los Feliz, and I was like, oh my god, it's him! And my gut reaction was like, I'm so excited. So I think I do like him. I just
he's really talented.
He's talented and so hot and Jewish, and maybe it's like a self.
Maybe like, look within. Hey, look within.
I think I might need to seek treatment when it comes to my feelings about Max Greenfield.
Thank you.
I thought Severance was actually incredible after the post pilot, but
I'll give another show. I feel like I also have a sense memory of auditioning for that in like 2018 because I remember being in LA and being like going from Uber to Uber and being really tired and going into a casting office and like doing a scene where I'm like pretending to be stuck in a room. And so then when I was watching the pilot, I was like, oh, like I think I've read this.
See, Catherine, you just answered my question about a good audition.
But I feel like it was similarly, it's like those are the kind of parts too where they see like every girl who's alive. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel, I feel like if I was in, you know, you hear stories of people being like, I was in the final two for like this thing. That's there never was,
Well, first I want to confirm that I looked it up. It is on Hulu, that Girl Scout documentary.
I knew it. I could smell the Hulu coming off of it. And I say this I watched lots of Hulu.
Well, what's really sad about the whole thing is that the whole documentary, Kristen Chenoweth is like, you know, I over and over and over thought to myself, I shoulda, coulda, woulda been at that Girl Scout camp. And just the fact that I wasn't. So that's why I'm here singing for good on a documentary about the children's
that's
murder.
Really warped.
With, dare I say, like 15-year-old girl who is not famous and who's performing it on a stage with her. It's really unhinged. But the story itself is crazy. It could have been one episode. It's like 12. However, people were roasting Kristen Chenoweth on, of course, Twitter. And then soon after, Kristen Chenoweth tweeted like, need your prayers, y'all, going through a tough time. And part of me thought it was just because she was getting like Twitter hate, but it probably was also she's just like has enough going on. It must have been something else. But I said to Matt, my theory, the filmmakers found out the Kristen Chenoweth connection. They pitched to her, hey, can you help us get visibility for these murders that were never solved? And can you do this thing? And she was like, sure, doll. I'll do whatever you want. I'm going to sing for good. They're like, yeah, absolutely. I think she was trying to do a good thing. And then the filmmakers made her insufferable on it.
I'm sure. Wait, but people are angry because it feels like
that
exploitive.
She was centering herself in these girls' stories. And like, I mean, it's just really, it's like they have her
really
like
bizarre.
Touch the tree.
Can I ask what happened? At the camp.
Oh, what happened is that they, all the girls went to sleep. And then during the middle of the night, one of the older counselors like heard something, but then just like walked the other way. And then it turns out three girls were taken from their cabin and brutally murdered. Two were murdered in the cabin and one was outside of the cabin.
No. And by one of the counselors?
No, I now forget the ending because I was too focused on Kristen Chenoweth singing. But I think they never found the guy that did it.
That's horrible. You know, I watched this or I listened to this podcast about very recently, like just a few years ago, there was a random shooting in Malibu where this dad was camping with his two kids and was just randomly shot in the head and they don't know who did it, like through his tent. Anyways, that's
through his tent.
Yeah,
I don't know. This makes camping. I used to think camping was like such a fun place to like fuck. Like I would love
it really
to.
Is.
I would love to penetrate under the stars, but now this is giving me pause.
I think those are probably the exceptions, not the rule.
And there we go.
You gotta risk it all to have a little fun. But you know what's so demented is Brian and I did this cross country road trip, and we met his met up with his sister and her husband in Yosemite, and our tent was like next to them. But like for some reason, we were like extremely horny that night, so we start having sex, and then we realize that it's literally we've never been in a more quiet environment in our entire lives, and you can just hear the air mattress like I'm like, we have to stop. So then we start laughing and then I'm like, this is horrible.
Can
so
we dive into can we dive into your sound effect of why was the air mattress making that sound?
It's like the air kind of like the air kind of like folding.
It's the folding.
I think
we started
having sex, and then we immediately stopped, being like, wait, literally no.
Okay, I have a really technical question about that.
Yeah.
Do you stop while he's hard, or does it get soft inside of you?
I think in that, I see this with so much love towards him, I think it probably got soft inside because all of a sudden we like realized how close we were to his like family member.
Do you think they ever knew what you were doing?
Oh, I hope not.
Can I tell you something crazy that happened to my friend yesterday?
You were there and you heard us.
I was like, what is that squishy sound? A friend told me that he received a dick pic from his dear friend, but his dear friend did not realize that he was sending his dick pic to that person because it was like a faceless app situation. Like a location-based app.
Oh, interesting. Okay. How did the person know it was his friend's cock?
Because he knew the bedroom that he took it in.
Oh, that's crazy. That's modern and beautiful. Did he say anything or no?
No. And they haven't talked about
it. But that's the kind of thing that, like, when someone has, like, three drinks, they'll be like, guess what? And they'll tell their friend.
But they tell them, like, 3 years later.
I know.
Can I tell you something else that I haven't thought about this in years? When Matt and I were first dating, we went to a bar, and it was literally a month in. So I was head over heels. I was upset.
Oh, heaven.
I was just like, you know, like the electricity, the
of
the
of course.
The
I know the electricity. Of course.
So
the hormones, we meet these the pheromones.
Pheromones. And so we meet this new friend of a friend. I was like, this is Matt. I'm dating this guy. And he was like, oh, nice to meet you. And then Matt's like, nice to meet you. And I was like, okay, this is fun. I'm so, like, fucking in love. I find out months later that I introduced Matt to a man whose dick he had sucked months prior.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
had
that
both,
sounds very New York.
It was so, they both played it off like they were meeting each other for the first time. But I don't think they could have dealt with it in a different way, but it felt.
That seems like the best way to deal with it.
I think so.
It's nice that he told you.
It is nice. I was conditioned in a way that was not healthy to say everything that enters your mind. And
me too.
I don't think that's always the answer.
Yeah. I remember once I was like on a date with like an ex-boyfriend, like a reconnecting date. Mm. And then we walked by this guy I'd literally slept with like the night before. And I was like, hey. And then we kept walking, and then My ex was obviously like, you fucked that guy. I was like, yeah. He's like, I could tell.
I wonder how he felt about it.
The guy who I walked by or the ex?
The ex that you were reconnecting with.
He probably didn't like that because I was always being a stupid whore towards him. The other guy couldn't care less, literally wanted me dead.
Was that in New York as well?
Yeah, New York City, center of the world.
Well, Yosemite aside, I do want to ask a question about a tweet that you said. You said, I just gave head in my nap dress.
I know, I'm wearing it right now, too.
Have you washed it since?
No. Imagine if I washed clothes immediately after giving head, because it was so, I felt so filthy. Why is because, A, I'm wearing nap dress because I'm like still bloated from my Sergina. Mm-hmm. B, I gave head because I can't have sex for another week. And C, I feel like Brian deserved a little love because he's been just like watching me moan about my ovaries for like 3 weeks.
You're a really good girlfriend, aren't you?
I know, it's crazy. I mean, I'm also terror.
Okay, what is the worst quality of yours as a girlfriend?
Probably being really charming and fun to everyone else and then dumping all my anger and insecurities on my partner and being a bitch to them.
I think that's me as well.
Right? Because like, you're like, and also you get to a phase in a relationship where you feel so comfortable around them that it's almost like being with yourself, and you're just like, you treat them like you treat yourself, which is usually like shit.
So wait, you're right. That is so, so on top of it, because I have tried to work through recently of not using Matt for every ounce of my validation, and like, and like my therapist was like, why don't you like go to a website to see if there's groups that can like, you can like ask them if that's funny and not Matt every, cause I show Matt, there's a lot of writing and content and things. And I used to, and by used to me, like as of 6 days ago, would have Matt review every single thing, and he A is not in comedy, B just wants to watch Bravo, and C like he supports me through and through, but he doesn't want to support me in that way, and I shouldn't be making him do that. It's like hard to know how to be the partner that your partner wants while also taking care of yourself.
It's very hard.
I think the thesis is that relationships are not as easy as the movies say.
The movies say they're always good. I know, it's exhausting. But it's beautiful to be in love. How long have you been married now?
Married for 2.5, together for almost 9.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Do you have, are people asking you about engagements?
Oh, I don't know. I definitely want to marry Bri, but I'm not in any kind of rush.
I think that's really very good.
I'd like to have a really wonderful career, and then when I have a lot of money, throw a big, big, big wedding.
Where is it?
You know, I don't know, because I always thought, like, at first I was like, oh, it'll be, like, upstate. Then I was like, no, it'll just be, like, in the city. And then I was like, no, it'll just be, like, in my hometown at my parents' house. Do you know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Wow.
Lots of options.
Who officiates?
Chris Murphy.
I love
that. Do you know Chris?
Yeah.
Chris introduced us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he went to college with me and went to camp with Brian. And he famously turned to me one day and said, you should date my one straight friend from summer camp. And I was like, okay.
And the rest is history.
And then, a year and a half later, after many tumultuous fights, we became BFGF.
I do want to ask a question about news that I wish was getting a little more publicized, which is that...
Oh, what?
Seek Treatment has a TikTok account.
Thank you so much. That's like literally just me being like, guys, we need to film it. Pat Pat's like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, so I...
What are your feelings about TikTok? I feel like last time we talked, you were not into TikTok and now you are.
So I yeah, it's so funny. I really think it's very beautiful and I love being on TikTok. I'm trying to get more into it and figure it out. I joined like a year ago when I was quarantining and I had like, was literally locked in a hotel room. And I do find it just an incredible website. And so I just, we just like were playing around and I had my Say It With Me assistant. I just got an assistant.
Congratulations.
She's amazing. I had her just like literally put, I was like, can you just like film this on your phone and send me a clip and I'll just like upload it and see what happens. So now I'm just going to try and like do that every now and then just to spread the word.
I think you should because I...
It's a lot of work though.
Oh my God. It's so... I went through a phase where I had someone actually reach out to me. They're like, hey, we actually want to work with, like, rep you maybe, but we prefer people with 100,000 followers.
That, what a crazy thing to say.
It was crazy. That's and I, at that point, I think I was like at 15. So I was like, okay. But I do think it is an amazing website. I just think that
it takes, love watching it.
It's like a baby. It like takes constant attention if you want to grow.
Totally. And I do.
But you did, when actually on a recent episode of Seek Treatment, you were talking about when either like Netflix or Comedy Central post clips of yours and then you just like fear for your life.
Oh my God. They're like, kill this woman, burn her at the stake.
The second you said that, I was like, why do we have to be such soldiers when put on a platform against our own will or wish? But like people, I just, it sometimes surprised me that anyone could say anything negative about any of us, but clearly people have opinions.
That's how I feel. Yeah, I'd much rather be on a, have my work be exposed to many people and have half of them hate me than it not be exposed at all. So I celebrate it.
That is true. I actually did a video for the app Calm, a meditation
app. Yes, love.
They have like a very big audience and I forgot that people would hate me. I like literally was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's so nice. I'll do that.
Yeah, it was definitely a rude awakening.
Yeah, well, people kept calling me cringe and like love a that. Stereotype of a gay man.
Awesome.
I was like, well, guess what I am, babe.
Also, yeah, it's kind of fun when like people get really, really angry. Like when like men get really angry about my work or even, you know, anyone, when anyone gets really angry about my work, it's like, okay, I must be doing something right.
I think that's true. Matt said that to me the other day. He was like, I was talking about this podcast actually and about like, what if X, Y, and Z pissed someone off? And he was like, honestly, you'd be lucky because people are talking about it.
Drama.
Well, speaking of, we have to finish this gorgeous
Let's wrap her up.
Catherine Cohen, where do you want people to follow you? What do you want them to pay attention to?
Well, you know, why not? I'd love, you know what? I'm 30 years old and I'm working on using TikTok more. So go and find me there. I don't know. I don't remember my handle.
And nor should you.
For some reason, I couldn't get the one that's same as others, but just search my name and hope for the best.
And that is a beautiful journey for you and for us. Catherine Cohen, I want you to hear this to the depths of your soul. I think you're so incredible. I think this podcast is lucky to have you on. And
well, thank you
I cannot wait.
I could talk to you for hours.
Same. And I can't wait for the next reunion.
Love. J'adore.
Thanks for listening to this episode of That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you have not followed us on Instagram, it's at Gay Ass Podcast. And yeah, tell a friend. That actually means a lot when you tell someone that you like this episode or you like this pod. Happy Pride. You are doing amazing, sweetie. I have COVID. You're exhausted, but you are the moment. I love you.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.